हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 28, chapter 75. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, friends bound by ropes of affection to the king engaged in services at the sacrifice by their own free will. According to their liking, they did activities, not under instruction by Yudhishthira. And so, like Bhima, he likes cooking, you know, eating and cooking. So he took that. Krishna took what he wanted to. That's why he said, you know, he wants to take care of the shoes and things like this. So everyone did according to their interests. It wasn't that he had instructed them to do. They were all doing because they wanted to do. Because otherwise, other people could do those things, right? But they wanted to take part, so they found things that they liked to do, know that they could do well, and add to the whole ceremony. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Bhima supervised the kitchen. Duryodhana looked after the treasury. Right? Everyone according to what they like, right? While Sahadev respectfully greeted the arriving guests, Nakula procured needed items. Arjuna attended the respectable elders. And Krishna washed everyone's feet. While Draupadi served food, and generous Karna gave out the gifts. Because right, he likes to give charity, so since charity has to be given, then he managed all that. Right? Many others, such as Yuyudhana, Vikarna, Hardikya, Vidura, Burishrava, and other sons of Bahlika and Santardana, similarly volunteered for various duties during the elaborate sacrifice. They did so because of their eagerness to please Maharaj Yudhishthira, O best of kings. Right, because they wanted to please him, that's why they were doing, you know. And unfortunately, Duryodhana, from seeing, because he's in the treasury, how much opulence and how much respect and how fabulous it is, then he gets envious, but.
So Maharaj Duryodhana was looking after the treasury of the Pandava.
Yes, for the ceremony.
For the ceremony.
Yeah, because all these kings are going to bring tribute.
Yes.
And so then all that has to be managed, and then it also has to be given out as needed, because Vidura is going to what goes where and everything like that. And so as Vidura needs things from there, then he gives. So Nakula will procure the things, either get things from there to give to the priests, or things that they don't have to get those and everything like that. So all these are very major, major places, you know, that have to be done. Many of these we won't take. Supervising the kitchen, we don't take as important. Looking after the treasury, we want to look at the things. We don't want to manage it, but we want to know everything about it. Respectfully greeting the guests, that, you know, new bhaktas can do that, right? You know, kitchen, you know, all these things. Nakula procured needed items, definitely new bhaktas. Attended the respectable elders, that's also going to be new bhaktas. You might just kind of like meet them a little bit, but actually work, that's new bhaktas. Krishna washed everyone's feet, 100% new bhaktas. Draupadi served fonts, you know, 200% new bhaktas. And generous Karna gave out the gifts, so we only don't do that, so we don't have to worry about that one. Yeah.
It's a new
Yes. Yeah, so we see is that the Vedic system is different. Each one of these persons, Bhima, Duryodhana, Sahadev, Nakula, Arjuna, Krishna, you know, they could run a kingdom themselves, no problem. But they take one specific thing, right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that responsible people take up these very key positions. Rather than one person just manages it all and just gets new bhaktas to do everything. Yes. If you only have new bhaktas and you're one guy, yeah, that's what you do, but.
Yeah. Their likings, as was described, were, it seems like they were out of their varna, but still there was no conflict.
No. It's not out of their varna. because this is all details within Varna. Just like, let's say, okay, let us take business, okay? Now, let us put it into a corporate context, okay? And the guy is, you know, a board member, a CEO, or something, you know, like that. But if you look back, and so now in that business, you have so many things going on, right? All the way down to the guy in the mail room, or, you know, taking care of the coffee machine works, or the copier works, like this, okay? Now, if you take it all the way down, I don't know about nowadays, but you go back like 10 years or so, then in America, 70% of all the CEOs, they started all the way at the bottom. So that means they did everything that's there throughout. Now, good businessmen that own a business, you know, these are, you know, corporations, so no one technically owns them, shareholders, but a privately owned business. Every aspect of it, they know how to do. So these are all parts that a kshatriya does. And so then it's just a matter of they take care of it to see that it goes excellently. Because you're not talking about just a regular amount of guests coming or that. You're talking about huge amount of guests, you know, and demigods or that. So, you know, Arjuna attended the respectable elders. You know, you're talking about, you know, he's taking care of Brahma and Shiva and Varuna and all the other, you know, big kings and all these other things like that. So, you know, it's... So this idea is that, oh, I'm so big, I don't do that. That's a small person. Yes, they're situated in a big place, but their range is still small because they can only do just what they do. So what's the difference technically between them and the guy sitting at the table who can only do what he does? He does accounts. He can only do accounts. So all it is he's differently situated, the same mentality. So ultimately, he can't expand and do something greater. But the person who's sitting on the top and can do everything below that, he's the bigger guy. Right? Does that make sense? Like nowadays, an accountant is very popular that they try to be the manager. Which, if you go back 10, 20 years, it would never happen. But nowadays, because people are so compartmentalized, then they can be compartmentalized and be the top. And people don't really complain because money's the most important thing, of course, right? You know, not people, not management, or, you know, standards in Krishna consciousness. It's just money. So therefore, he can be the lead. The Prabhupada said is that the temple president, all the duties in the whole temple, everything, including taking out the garbage, doing the puja, cleaning up after the puja, putting the paraphernalia away after the puja, washing the pots, you know, seeing the bathrooms are clean and all that. That's all his job. And he has to be willing to do every last one of them. Then, because he's a manager, if he does it all, then how much preaching and everything will go on? It won't go on very nicely. So now he can engage others in these places responsibly. And he's also responsible following up after and seeing that they're following the standards of Krishna consciousness in applying their area of knowledge and skill. Now that's a temple president. But this idea is where I only sit in my office and I'm on email all day and, you know, busy in meetings and then that's it. How far can you get? You know what I'm saying? How big are those temples? But you take a big temple, like say like LA, and the person there practically goes around and manages. But you take these, you know, office-bound managers and there's a good chance there's more deities than devotees in the temple. And there are devotees, they're either Bengalis or Russians. Yes.
Mark, this sounds great because it's done out of affection.
Yes.
The old brothers means his family.
Right, right.
And also, they engage according to their own nature.
Right.
This is like Bhagavatam perfect example.
Yes.
However, when we try to organize a program, senior people, they don't mind to take position, like be in charge of this or be in charge of that. But actually, in the field, they don't do nothing. So often, dealing with new bhaktas, like you explained as an opposite of perfect,
yes.
It's easier because those people, they don't do anything. They just take a position and nothing happens.
But then what you have to do is, they take the position, but you have to assign you know, if it, all you have is new bhaktas, it's a new bhakta that they're going to do, assist that person and do all the practical work. So that way then, you know, you can discuss directly with them, but at the same time, if there's a decision that, that needs to be, that would be on that level, you discuss it with them, and then that new bhakta will take care of it. But the point is then you have to manage around that. That's the whole point. His manager means he has to, he's managing within the context of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the corporate management is people are just tools. They're not actually people. Because as soon as they start to act like people, that's when you fire them. You know, in other words, if they're acting like people, then you tell them to not do that because it's not professional.
Yeah.
Like that. But so, but a real manager can deal with people. They know how to deal like that. So then you just understand is, okay, they're there. And by experience now, I know that they don't do anything there, but they have an interest. So I'll put somebody in there that will do the work, and then the two of them can discuss. And if need be, if you know there's areas that need to be, then you're involved in that whenever, you know, you sit with them. So you sit with the two of them and work out the program. Then they get it done and sit with the other group and like this.
So if we take a step forward and do, as you mentioned, one is senior, one is junior, one is more active, but then still if there is stagnation, so how should we deal with that?
That you're dealing, then you get it done by the junior guy, because the senior guy doesn't want to know details at all. Major concepts, yes, but detail, not at all. You know, if we're going to spend money on this, that they want to have be part of it. How it's spent, who's going to the market, who's going to pick it up, what vehicle you're going to use, you know, what time you're going to go, how you're going to manage that, that they don't want to know at all. That you do. So in other words, just as you would work with that senior man to organize things, you work with the junior man to organize. And where the senior man is involved or could be involved, then you sit with both of them. But always sit, have the junior guy there when you discuss, because he's the actual one that's got to know what's going on. You know, and if they ask why, no, I'll take care of it. No, it's better. It's that here's sufficient. That way, they all hear, and then you know, he can follow up. Because they don't want to know the detail, and then you just deal with them. Then you call the junior guy. So were you able to get the stuff, this, that, and all? And if he's able to take care of it, yes. If he has problems, you deal with him directly. Does that make sense? That way then it's a nice, it has that nice Vaishnava mood. You can say, well, it's not as effective as if we didn't have the senior guy there, but then it's not as effective managerially, but it's less effective as far as engaging everybody and that feeling of everybody's involved in that program or festival or like that. So better is that, because the senior, then they'll give classes and they'll do that, which they do nicely.
Right.
And they'll be inspired because they feel part of it, so they'll want to come and preach more and things like that. But, you know, but it's getting done because of the junior guys. It's not that Bhima is doing all the cooking himself. He's got tons of people, but he's a hands-on manager. Right? So how much you have to do, you do, and how much you don't, others can do. So where another person can manage it, you let them do it. But where they can't, that's where you take it. So if he can do 80%, you do the 20. Right? And if he does 60, you do 40. And it may adjust. In one area, they can do 80. In another area, they can do 60. So you just fill in wherever it's the... And if they can do 100%, then you just discuss that it's going in the right direction. Does that make sense? You go on site, you see, it's up to standard, then you're good. So, yeah. So, as we're saying, Bhagavata, we say it's just theory, but no, it's so practical. But the point is its practicalness is from the mode of goodness, which we're not used to. You know, that's the thing. Yes.
And so we see so many of our temples now, like I remember in the early days, things were much more hands-on with the devotees.
Yes, yes.
Even like in Mayapur. And like nowadays in Vrindavan, where I've stayed for the last couple of years, all the menial tasks, even like the Brahmacharya Ashram, it's all hired people. And I'm not sure how much is... It just seems that if management has the money, then they're spending for these things to happen. But it seems like the consciousness of the devotees...
But are you talking here, or are you talking outside here?
I'm talking like Vrindavan. Like if management has the money, which they do have...
Yes, but now... Okay, that's true. But now, let's just look at one... We're going to take one aspect of that only. like that. It may not be comprehensive, but it's enough. Okay, now, when devotees came for the festival, let's say, in the especially early 70s, did those devotees that came from overseas take part in all the details that were going on?
No.
No. Aha. Okay. You're from which country?
From the US.
Okay. So now we have to get very generic.
I was from Canada here in 1976.
Yes.
So I did some hands-on.
So, but the point was is Australians did do work. Indians would do work. British would do work. Americans, they were here on vacation. That was so obvious. Because we worked hard all year, we did San Patan, this is a break, because that was the whole thing. You do this good in books distribution, then you can go to the festival. So festival is a vacation.
Yeah.
Well, for the Australians and everyone else, they came here as devotional, as service. So they came and did all the service. So they helped out and did everything. So then the point is that you have, are the devotees willing to do? Like that. It's just like if, how many devotees here, like, you see the guy sweeping the roads here, right? And there are 5,000 devotees here in Mayapur. About 3,500, 4,000 of that is Bengali, so that leaves 1,000 Westerners. Now, the amount of services and stuff that are here, any Westerners willing to sweep that road every day? It's there. Those 1,000 devotees, how many of them actually had a service here in Mayapur? And then they'll be claiming, oh, there's no service available. Why? Because service to them means I walk in, I'm the big pujari, I dress Radha Madhava, I manage a department, I do this, I do that. What about sweeping the road? I mean, I remember in St. Louis in our temple, then, you know, after Bhagavatam class, before Prasadam, then everybody cleaned the temple. The whole temple, top to bottom, was cleaned by all the devotees, right, you know, in 15 minutes. Then you had breakfast, then you went out for, you know, whatever you were doing. So, yes, but nowadays, they'll sit in their house all day. They will not sweep the road. So if you're, you understand, I'm in the Dom. I could do service in the Dom. Sweeping the road is good, especially since Bhaktivinoda Thakura gave out all the services in the Nam Hatha. And what was his service? The sweeper. So you don't get a better job than this, right? You know, I think it was Jagannath Das Babaji, I think it was. You know, there was a bungi, you know, a chump like this. And he went and got chapati from him and eating, and all the Babajis are freaking out and this and that. And he says the dust of Vrindavan, you know, one day, it's Chintamani. And just, you know, you can get love of Krishna from the Brajaraj, from the dust of Vrindavan. So Jamuna, Giriraj, and the dust of Vrindavan. These three, you know, give you pure love for Krishna. And that's just one drop. This guy sweeps all day. He's covered in dust. So imagine his position, what he is. So he wanted to get, you know, mercy from this guy. Like that. Now, if I had said this back in the 70s like that to the devotees, you know, you'd have 200 devotees wanting to do, you know, 10 jobs of sweeping. But you could say it now and no one will sweep. Right? Because also, how would they live? The long building, right? Festival. How many brahmacharis in one of those little rooms? It was the size of two of these blankets, literally. 8. That was the standard. And common bathrooms. And then it goes down, down, down. Now everybody's had their own the private rooms, their own this. You know. So it's just that the point is, it's not that the managers, that's who's going to do it. Everyone's too worried about, oh, I could sweep the road, but how much will I get from that? You know, I want to have the apartment, I want this, I want that, so then you can't do that. So at this point, I wouldn't say there. Now, if in America they're hiring people to wash pots and that, then you're dealing with a problem, because how many, except for Ambarish Prabhu and one or two others, who actually ever grew up with servants? Nobody I know. Like that. But in India, it's like everybody has servants. It's standard like that. You had servants? You had servants? You had servants? It's just normal. You know, it's just, they do that. It's just part of life. It's not a luxury. It's just how it works. But in America, you have servants. That's a luxury. So people here have luxury. Marble on the floor, this, it's all luxury. Is that what it says? So you have to be very, very careful in here is that managers do the best they can. So therefore, that's why it goes on. You know, who wants to pick Tulsi? You have hired people picking Tulsi also. They're locals, and so they're all devotees, but they're not necessarily ISKCON devotees. You know, there's some variety of devotee, Samanya Bhaktas, because they're willing to do it. And others, they don't want to do it. Ladies saying, where's the service and this and that. It's like that. You can go out there. There's a place the size of a football field that's all Radha Madhava's flowers and Tulsi and all that. And the karmis take care of it. They do all the cleaning and everything like that. You know, so that's the whole point is that one has to be careful on that. And when you say is that they're aloof from the management, but at the same time is that one department here is bigger than a maha large temple. One department. You know, one department having 60, 80, 100 devotees. You know, Sankirtan, I think, has 500 devotees. You know, you do not have a Sankirtan department like that in any temple, in any zone on the planet, except for here in Bombay. You just don't have it. You know, the whole zone won't have 500 devotees. The whole country won't have 500 devotees. There's one place. So, what they do, they are hands-on managers in their department. And then they have guys above them that are hands-on with them. And so because it's big, there's 5,000, you may not see them. So what I was talking about before is that guys in their desk and that, is it's a temple, means it's one house, and you don't see the manager. That's what I'm talking about. Here's 5,000 people. You want to see, you can go. You can go see them. So that's the whole thing. It's just like in 76, you didn't squeegee the verandas in the Lotus building? I did. Third floor, second floor. I can tell you where the slopes are, which drain. The third floor, you have to use the one all the way on the east on the right. That's the only one where the water will go. But on the second floor, you can use that one there and the one down at the other end. Because just the way the sloping is. You know? So that's the thing. Those that we did. But nowadays, devotees don't want to. So therefore, then they hire people. You know, so if devotees want to do this service, like you go to Amritsar, they don't have hired people there. You know, all these people come for darshan, and the standard thing they go into, because they have places where you can drink water, because you walk around and it's big. So they have, I think, two different places where you can drink water. And they have these solid bell metal bowls, really high class. At least they used to. Are they still have those? No one knows. They used to have those. And you would drink out of it once. They wouldn't rinse it off. They'd take it. They'd send it for washing. Washing meant polishing it. So they'd take ash and polish it and that. And so you see in the front, people are giving out the water and that and taking the bowls and, you know, stuff like that. But then in the back, you see all the people that are walking around. They go in and spend, you know, 5, 10, 15, whatever it is to polish back there. So that's the thing. It's just part of the scene. They just do. You know, it's just... That's the point of the lifestyle and the mode of goodness that Prabhupada's recommending. It just gives you that service attitude. Well, this modern that it's all about me and I, you know, I'm the victim and this and I, you know, where are my rights and where am I in control, is how does that cultivate in any way the service attitude? And so that's the politically correct, you know, thing, the corporate, the this. How does that corporate, middle management, they're the nastiest, stinkiest people on the planet. Everybody hates them. I mean, literally hates them. And then we're professing that this is going to be the management system we're going to use and make everybody so wonderful in Vaishnava. You know, they're not using the top, they're not using the bottom. They're using middle management. And literally, everyone hates middle management. And they hate each other. So it's like, you know, it's a lose-lose-lose situation. But somehow or another, it's like that. And so how does that cultivate the humility? You know, so many things. You see, it's one or two guys, you know, after it goes, then they clean up, you know, the temple, everyone leaves, and then they pick up the mats and put them in the closet. And generally, they're the ones that those corporate people would call losers. They're the ones that aren't, you know, socially together, or not much money, or not professional in that. But they're the ones that have devotion, because you have to remember, they're putting all that away. It's in front of the deities. The deities see all that. So as Bhavananda said in one lecture, he says, you know, everyone's busy being the big devotee. And so then being the big devotee, then, yeah, all the little devotees, they'll go back to Godhead because they're surrendered to Krishna. But the big devotee, because he's the big devotee, then he'll have to take birth again to be the big devotee. So, like that, it's a matter of, in other words, when we're talking about these managerial aspects, we're talking about the principles that are there. We're not talking about, you know, the specific. In other words, the principle of authority, that is supported. Like, you may see me talk about this and that, but here, as soon as someone makes an attack on the authority, you see, we'll immediately defend. We'll make comments about how GBC, but if anyone tries to attack the GBC, we'll defend them. You know what I'm saying? So, makes sense. So the point is authority is a principle that you can't function without. And so there's no fault in the principle. Now, how we apply it. So I'm talking about the application of the principle. And if somebody's doing it, they're good. And if they're not, they're not. That's why we don't have to, you know, these questions that come up. So what if a manager's, apply it. You know, we've already told what to do. And if it's not happening, then you know what to do. Why do we have to sit back? Oh, they're wrong. We don't have to do that. Does that make sense? So this forum is, what is the Vedic authority? And therefore, then everything that comes down. So this is, as you said, it's shabda, so it's totally authority-based. So there is no, even though we'll make comments about authority, but we're talking about it and how it runs, just like we make comments about Duryodhana. But are we complaining about his ability as a king? No, we're complaining about his mentality. So I'm not complaining when they say they're sitting at the desk at that. I'm talking about the mentality that they don't have to do all these things. You know what I'm saying? There's a good chance that Swabhas doesn't wash pots. But there's also a solid chance that if the pots weren't washed and no one else is there, he would do it.
He
would. So that's the whole point. That's why he's been there for the last, when was it? I think I saw him in 92. He was going to America. Yeah. I think in 92 I was going to, we were both in London at Soho at the Brahmacharya Ashram. He was going to America. And I think I was coming back to India or something. So then that must have been he went to L.A. So that's the point. That's why he's there. That's why people follow him, you know. And those, you know, everybody else that didn't want to follow that, then they headed towards the East Coast. So then the whole principle is that he's willing to do. That's why people follow, you know. Or I think Badri Narayan, he's been in San Diego, like, you know, back from the time when I think, you know, the Spanish called it San Diego, you know, and he's been there forever, you know. But he found him under a rock there and said, oh, we'll build the temple here. So, you know, so the thing is he, you know, speak what he says, means what he says, he'll get in there, he'll do it. So that's why they have the success. Well, those that are just office people, then they may have a, you know, technically nicely managed temple, but the flavor and all that will be missing. So it's not that they don't have to do that, yes, but it's part of what they do. They have to expand and do everything else also. How long does it take to make a tour around the temple, especially most of these Western temples? Like 5 minutes maybe, maximum? And that's only because they have to open a few doors and walk up and down stairs. Bhavananda before used to make a tour of the whole place twice a day, and 3 days if there was some, you know, special construction. And that would take like half hour, 45 minutes. And it was well managed. You know? And TKG, though he'd sit in one place, he knew everything. So so he'd go to the trouble. He would call everybody, ask everyone. He'd know exactly, you know, how well the pot was washed. You know, and they're like, how did you know? The pots are dirty. How did he know? You like that, but he knew. So, you know, that's so that they were trained by Prabhupada. So then that's how it works. They knew. They were there. So one did it by you know, he had responsible people that knew everything, you know, would find out everything. He'd make that endeavor. And the other one would go around himself. Therefore, one was the you know, application of active intelligence, and one was the attack of lazy intelligence. But they were both the best managers. You know, the people liked them. Everything was behind. It worked perfect. And they were best friends. Because they were both real managers. So that's the thing. You have a real manager, everybody else is. So then that's the point, is if you go into these departments, you'll find amazing with stuff that they're going on. It's just that in a lot of these departments, then the Westerners are out of the loop because they don't want to do all those little things that the Indians are willing to do. That's the whole point. You know, it's like we have a godbrother, Jarabharat. I don't know if you remember him from then. He's been in the same department in accounts since that time in the 70s. The same department, in the same area, the trusts. Not even just, okay, he's in the treasury. He's been in trust since then. Like that. So that's the whole point, is they have the samskaras to be able to sit in one place and do it. That's the point. So you want to see is that the principle of authority, that's what it has to be. And we judge everything according to principle. Then, in that discussion of the principle, if there's a fault in the detail, then we correct that. And if there's not, then we know that's good, and then go on and take care of other things. So you do have that, is who wants to do these things. Like, you know, Govinda Maharaj, he was the cook. You know, Padmalochan, he managed the kitchen. He knew how, he worked it out, that one puri soaks up 2 grams of ghee. Like that. So much detail. What you could buy, who could get where, things like that. So, that's the thing, that we used to do those things. Madhusavita, you know, GBC, he was the temple commander also, you know, in those days. So, and you know, they get right into the detail. Riding around, going everywhere. Now devotees just want to sit in an office. How many office jobs are there? You know, so when the department's got 80 people in it, how many are office? Like that. So then that's the problem. And big pay. Like that. So, you know, they're not paying. These local guys, they got, you know, 7,000, 10,000 rupees. And they live. You know, we need 50. So you want to pay 50,000 to sweep the road? No. Those guys just come and sweep and go. So probably they're spending, you know, 10,000 total. But otherwise, if Westerners swept that, that would cost us 5 lakhs. So actually, it is, they're spending money, but they're careful on spending money. They're not wasting money. Is that okay? Slightly different perspective, but... So does that make sense? In other words, rule number one, don't attack authority in this class. And if you do, then we'll either finesse it or it won't work out so good. You know, as we had last week.
Badri Narayan Maharaj was so approachable as a manager. While taking a shower, from the window of the shower, people used to go up and ask him questions about the day's management. Maharaj, what to do? And used to say, in a very polite way, he used to reply, please give me a break for 3 minutes at least.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's so America. Right? You know, so whatever's the most practical. And if the window wasn't there, they'd be talking under the door. Right? Hey, Mark.
Like Kate.
Huh? Yeah, they don't care. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Okay, 4 verses describe their services. 2 verses describe the services of the main persons. Some were engaged as heads of department, while others were engaged individually to do certain tasks, according to their skill and special desire. So like the kitchen, that would be a department. But let's say procuring needed items, then he'll be doing that himself. You know, or washing the feet, he's doing that himself. So you see, of them means Nakula probably had people that would help, and he'd go out and he would see. But like for Krishna, he would wash them himself. So if anybody's there, they're only assisting him by giving the water, getting the water. Yeah. And he's pouring the water. Yeah. Okay, they're all according to their skill and special desire. Thus, each is described through the assignment of their service. Arjuna was in charge of serving those who are supporting the Lord, right? Those who are not, they probably, then they did have the new bhakta to take care of, right? Like Shishupala and all that, they got the new bhakta, right? Krishna was in charge of washing the feet of the devotees, right? The non, you know, Shishupala, he wasn't washing his feet. Those also, and had others. He was not engaged by Yudhishthira in doing this. He did this voluntarily out of affection. The second verse mentioned that friends bound by affection served in various capacities. Since others were too proud to do this, the sacrifice would be faulty without this service. This should not happen to my friend. Thus Krishna did this service out of mercy. So you see, even then, it's just a material thing that people are too proud to do these bigger services. So you have to get smaller guys. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's why then they do this service. But here they thought, if these aren't done nicely, there'll be a fault in the yajna, so they did them themselves. Because otherwise there was no need. These would be fulfilled by people who weren't too proud to do them. You know, so that was fitting service. But because they knew that these are such important things that without it going on, you know, just like, I remember one day in Gurukul, we had this 14-year-old, I think he was 14. Yeah, he was in charge of the kitchen. And that was cooking for 140 people. Right? So that's, you know, there's not many people who could run a kitchen cooking for 140 people 3 times a day. So here's a 14-year-old doing it, because the whole school is run by Gurukul. There were no adults running anything, right? That, because they couldn't do it, right? Because they were too proud. So the kids ran everything. So he's running the kitchen. And then one day, you go for lunch, and you go in at the time and that, and there was nothing there. So he thought, okay, something happened with the serving. You go to the kitchen, there's nothing there either. There's nothing in the kitchen. I mean, absolutely, it's as if it's been, you know, after cooking, it's been cleaned and all that. You go check in the go-down, nothing there except raw ingredients. No people there, nothing. And so then you find the kid, and says, what happened? He said, there's no lunch today. He asked, why not? He says, the boys came in the go-down and stole bananas. So it says they already had lunch. No one stole anything from that kitchen again. That's a manager. And it wasn't that he was shy about it. It was just, hey, you know, they want to steal, then they don't get any food. You know, so okay, then that was it. You know, I mean, it's a bit old school, but yeah. Otherwise, it's there. So, the idea is that when you have things, is that, but let's say you have other things, and then, you know, it's late, it's this, it's that, it's, you know, so many things, is they just don't care. So therefore, then they said, these things have to go right. And yeah. So then, yeah. they took charge of those essential points. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Srila Sukadev Goswami continues. We want to talk about how they stole the bananas. And that's also amazing. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. After the priests, the prominent delegates, the greatly learned saints, and the king's most intimate well-wishers had all been properly honored with pleasing words, auspicious offerings, and various gifts as remuneration. Like, so you see, Arjuna would be involved in that part of it. Yudhishthira would be there as the yajaman, like that. And then Karna would be there, you know, managing, they're all getting the stuff. If Yudhishthira had to do all that himself or just depend on others, it wouldn't be. So he's there, Arjuna's there, because he'll be talking the thing, and then Yudhishthira will go around and meet everybody. But Arjuna's already arranging and meeting so that they're all satisfied. And Karna's there seeing that the gifts are given out. You know, so it's very, very important thing. So that's the thing the Bhagavatam mentions, but it doesn't get into details, because those details, those are, you look in the Dharma Shastra, you look in the Arta Shastra, Niti Shastra. Details there, Mahabharata. Mm-hmm. So Bhagavatam just shows the essential points. The essential one is, of course, being Krishna conscious, and two, the proper relationships and that is there amongst the devotees in their service to Krishna. So that much only, that much detail will be given so you appreciate that. But the actual technical point, that's not given, because it's not meant to be. It doesn't need to be. You have all these other scriptures to tell that. Okay, auspicious offering and various gifts as remuneration. After the king of Chedi had entered the lotus feet of the Lord of the Satvatas, the Avabrita bath was performed in the divine river Jamuna. During the Avabrita celebration, the music of many kinds of instruments resounded, including mridangas, conch shells, panavas, dundaris, kettle drums, and gomukha horns. Female dancers danced with great joy, and choruses sang, while the loud vibrations of Venus, flutes, and hand cymbals reached all the way to the heavenly regions. All the kings, wearing gold necklaces, set off for the Jamuna. They had flags and banners of various colors and were accompanied by infantrymen and well-adorned soldiers riding lordly elephants, chariots, and horses. The massed armies of the Yadus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kurus, Kekayas, and Koshalas made the earth tremble as they followed Yudhishthira Maharaj, the performer of the sacrifice. And so we're talking about a very grand procession. So you can see the Avabrita is a very major aspect in itself. It's not just, hey, you know, you go down and take a bath. You go in procession like that. So you can see why it hasn't become a popular aspect of our programs. The assembled officials, the priests, and other excellent brahmanas resoundingly vibrated Vedic mantras, while demigods, divine sages, pitas, and Gandharvas sang praises and rained down flowers. Men and women, all adorned with sandalwood paste, flower garlands, jewelry, and fine clothing, sported by smearing and sprinkling one another with various liquids. The men smeared the courtesans with plentiful oil, yogurt, perfumed water, turmeric, and kumkuma powder. And the courtesans playfully smeared the men with the same substances. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna.
Just a side point.
Side point.
I'm
okay, good. I thought you were going to ask about the courtesans. Yes.
I will.
That's next.
So, as we say, it's formal thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's not the question. What are they doing?
That's the whole point, is that the Vedic is a nice balance between all these things. Something will be a little bit more formal, something will be less formal, but that's the point, is it's all worked in. The modern formal is just dry. And then, you know, not formal is crazy. You know, in the morning you wake up and wonder what happened. You know, and are relieved that you woke up in your bed and not someone else's, you know, or in the street or in the bathroom. You know. So it's just that these things are balanced where they go, because it's the end, it's the festivity, so naturally these things go on. So it's you know, you have the element like the holy kind of thing. You know, like we see with Nanda Baba and at the birth of Krishna, then afterwards, you know, after the main rituals were there, then they were throwing, I think, you know, same kind of things, yogurt and all that on each other. And
butter.
Butter, yeah. And so, then, the word to use is also. Yeah, so, does that make sense? Yeah, so all these things are going on. They're all part of it. They have their place. Now, if they're playing around earlier, that's not happening. You can see everything before, that's very formal. But you can see at this point, then it's less. Because it's their bathing. It has those aspects. So that's the nice thing about the Vedic. It has that nice balance. You know, it's just like, okay, in the according to the rules, then the grandparents are the... you could say senior most of the family. Okay, now that we're talking about grandchildren, they'll joke with them more than the parents will. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if it's a formal situation, the parents will just be formal. Mm-hmm. you know, formal or sentimental, where, oh, we don't have to be so formal, but they're not joking. But the grandparents could be the formal, but at the same time, they can be joking on the side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of the Vedic has, and why is that? Right? What's the key? And that will answer your next question about the cornices. Is detachment. The grandparents are detached more than the parents. Because the parents are attached, my kid has to do everything right, and that, well, the grandparents are detached, it's not their kid. And so therefore then they just need to encourage. Does that make sense? So that balance between, so you have the two. So therefore then with the courtesans and all that, because they're detached, therefore these things aren't a problem. So it mentions that in with Nanda Baba in their program. It says that they're throwing yogurt and butter and everything like that and that. And so from that, then their cloth starts to become seasoned. And it said that, you know, everyone there in the assembly, they're not bothered, but people who you know, had material desire, they became less. But others didn't. Because it's just, a festival means it's beauty, it's opulence and all that, so feminine beauty is part of the opulence. And so it's just, feminine beauty is just that aspect. It's not something to be enjoyed other than, it just adds to the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Girls are dressed nicely, they smile, they feel nice, it adds to the atmosphere. And now if you want to enjoy that, then that's not part of the program. It disturbs the mood. So because of their purity, therefore, then there was no problem. Is that
okay? Yeah. Even for the Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra, you find that everything is going on over there right now. Men and women are dancing, dramas are going on, because of the Ratha Yatra. Not smearing of the...
Yes, that's what you say. It's pulled back a bit from that, since the British got rid of the Devi Dasis. Okay.
Maharaj, in South also, after marriages, especially it happens in summers. So after marriage, 2 days, 3 days. So 5 days they go for all the relatives go. So generally grandmothers. So they make all the paintings. When the children are sleeping, they make mustaches.
Oh, the grandmothers do that. Okay. Watch out for the grandmothers.
All the holy thing after 3 days of festival or 4 days.
Okay.
They do as you say.
Yeah. So grandmas do the pranks. That's cool.
They make the mustaches.
Yeah. Well, parents don't do that. They're cool. Yes.
In this regard, also, there is often depicted Lakshmi or even Radharani like very scarcely dressed. So is it like bona fide? Is it also
where?
There are statues like that.
In South.
Yeah. In South.
Yeah. Because people don't worry about that.
They don't worry. So it's okay. Like, in the same mood.
It's in the mood, like that. Like you see, it means in the Vedic tradition, not in our Gaudiya tradition, it means in other words, Braja, but in Vaikuntha tradition, when anybody is doing that direct service, menial service, then part of that mood of, that expression of that mood of service is that submission which is shown by you only wear cloth from the waist down. Mm-hmm. So you have the lower cloth and you have a belt. That you have to have because it's properly dressed. The top cloth is there depending upon what service you're doing, how you're doing it and all that. So that's why you see is that we have an element is that when we're doing, then we don't wear sewn cloth or the cloth is on the shoulder, like one shoulder is more. You see that, or that's more prominent. But Bengalis use that, or they do the one where it's over both shoulders, hanging around the neck.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more. Bengalis will use that one a bit more. You know, it's a little bit more refined, like that. Or you put it on, you know, like this under the arm. You know, these kind of things. So that is just, that means that you're doing service. You understand? So when you're getting into these cultures that are just so established in the Septon, it's just in that, especially when you're dealing just with Shanta Ras and Dasya Ras only, then you'll see that it's not an uncommon. In the older paintings or deities or things like that, the men and women aren't wearing any clothes on the top.
Yeah.
You know, like you see old lamps that you have, the apsaras holding the pradeep, they're not wearing anything on the top. The belt and all the ornaments and the things like that, and that's all very nice, but not on the top. So that's just a standard part of Vaikuntha worship. But as soon as you introduce the other three rasas, then that starts to become very much restricted. You understand? So it can be public, But as soon as it gets less, then they start to be restricted.
Some kind of mixing.
Yeah, then the mood just doesn't match it because you have the other rasas going on. But in the Vaikuntha mood, you don't. So that's why you see Shri is very nicely dressed, Bhu is okay, but Nila doesn't have anything on the top. Old pictures and paintings. Because she's just doing the menial service, because she's the arranger, she's Leela. You know, so she arranges the pastimes and all that, so she's serving in the whole capacity. So you'll see that, but the point is it's just considered feminine. It's just that service, it's not considered sensual. Like that. Modern thing, everything's sensual. You know, that's the whole point, is that the modern, it's all about how undressed you can be, and they're criticized the Vedic now because they're nicely dressed, but at the same time, everything they do is about sensual, so it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, because at the top you go to the temples and all the Gandharvas and this, they're not wearing anything and that, and people don't care. Because it's just, that's the way it is, and in the West, So it's weird like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're dealing in the lower modes. But when you're dealing in goodness, and especially pure goodness, then what's the point? Everything is for Krishna's enjoyment, so there's nothing that you see as for your enjoyment, therefore you don't. And then you have the culture as such. So you see in the Vedic, because it's more on goodness, then you can see is that the women are dressed, so the specific places are always covered. But at the same time is that there's aspects that are not, like, you know, their back is not covered, or their waist is not covered, or things like that. The arms can be not covered. But you go out where it's more about sense gratification, and more about women are for enjoyment, rather than just, you know, it's enjoyable being with women. Then you see as they, you know, cover them from head to toe. You can't even imagine you can see their eyes. Because just seeing their arm, you know, people start freaking out. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. It's just the difference. We can't apply our standards from our culture onto this Vedic culture, because the point is that it's functioning in goodness. So it is not a problem there. Does that make sense?
Devotees were asking me, I couldn't answer, so this is very nice.
Yes, because we're talking culture here. And so when you go up into that, then it's not a problem. So.
Like in India, about this, I've never ever heard of any discussion come up regarding impropriety of the temple, the murtis outside the temple, anywhere, some half-naked.
Yes,
no Hindu will ever discuss this.
No, no.
They already understood.
Because it's just part of the culture. It's part of the scene. But it's those people do it. It's like it'll be said here, Prabhupada points out, the professional prostitutes were also engaged by jewelry smearing these liquid substances on the bodies of men. The men reciprocated in the same way. So it's not that all the ladies are doing that, only professional prostitutes. Because married women, that means women who are, you know, cultured in the family whole tradition, is that they're not touching men other than their own men. They're not dealing with them. So the prostitutes do, because it's part of the scene that works. But it's only that. The prostitutes aren't trying to catch anybody. It's just that they're there because they'll interact. You know, it's like the public programs. They have a lady there that shows people where to sit and gives garlands and does things for people like that. In the Vedic system, those would be the professional prostitutes. You know what I'm saying? So they're high class. So they're doing like that. Nowadays, you know, you're not going to pay for those. So therefore, then the high-class ones disappear. You only have the low-class ones. You know, the common ones. And so you're not bringing them on the stage. But these cultural, they know all the rules. They know how to deal all the etiquettes. It means the king wants to have a conversation on something, you know, of Kshatriya topic. They can talk it. Shastra, they can talk it. Because it's just for adding that feminine element into it. So that's all the more it is. It's not beyond that. You know, it's like you have these fancy restaurants and they'll have some, you know, Greek and Roman marble statues and they don't have much clothes on. No one's complaining. Because of the environment. It adds to that environment. Now, if I took those same statues and took them down to McDonald's, now then everybody'd be sitting around and looking at them and pointing. Yeah. So in other words, when you get more refined, it's not a problem. You know, like that. But as you come down, then you have to worry about it.
In Czech Republic, there are old houses and there are also these statues outside.
Yeah, they have. The old stone carvings and stuff like that.
It was just like some years ago I saw a program from Discovery, and they were, I think they were showing Sri Rangam and many temples from South India, and in the program they were saying that the Englishmen are so pure and so elevated that they could not go to see these very sensual temples, and I just felt so.
Yeah, no, it's just because there's so much attachment to them, it only means that. It's not art to them. Because if you go to the Louvre, then, you know, half of what's there doesn't have clothes on. You know? And it's art. So the British gentlemen don't go to the Louvre either. So that's why it's in France. Right? That's why the French had to come over there to rule, right? You know, came over for Brittany. Like that, right?
Okay.
What's it? 1066. What is it?
Yeah. I think.
Who is that? Yeah, but no, but who is the guy?
William the Conqueror.
William, yeah. He was French.
William of Normandy.
Yeah. Okay. Technically, they were Vikings that came down and harassed, and then France gave them that and said, okay, now just be French. Just be here and rule, you know. So. But still, they went on behalf of France. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana.